Welcome back and happy Friday. We are inching closer and closer to the weekend. Hopefully everybody had a great day today. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Want to thank BetMGM for being a sponsor. If you want to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa, please download the BetMGM app. Check out their specials for signing up. Your first bet, you can wager up to $100. If you lose, they put it right back in. Deposit, bet, win, have fun. That's what you can do here in the state of Iowa with BetMGM. Also want to thank Northwest Bank for coming aboard. Northwest Bank just won top workplace for the sixth year in a row. Not only is it a great bank, but it's also a great place to work. People are happy. That means that the bankers are happy and everybody's happy. Remember, member of FDIC. Oh, there we go. It's Friday. It is the best 3 weeks of sports because you get conference tournaments, you get the NCAA tournament two weekends in a row, and all the games. And to kind of give us our last push here before we get to Selection Sunday, I've got Mason Heckman. He is at Mason Heckman on Twitter. Mace, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Steen?
Good. So here's a really funny thing. You know, about 5 weeks ago, there were people saying that a better schedule to do if you want to get everything in and get everything done was to not do conference tournaments, go strictly with the selection show. You do that on March 7th. You have everybody that gets in travel to Indianapolis on March 8th. The first four play on the 18th. That gives them enough time to get everybody situated in the bubble and have their 14 days of testing done, and then start the first round on the 19th and 20th, and everybody went, no way. And now we have, as of today, we have Duke, Kansas, and Virginia, and you got a couple others that are, I think, maybe teetering. Mace, what is the NCAA going to do?
I'm glad that you brought up that whole schedule and potential what they could have done, because I was 1,000% on board with that. It was something that I wanted to bring up to you if we had extra time a couple weeks ago back in January when we're starting to realize, okay, if we're going to do conference tournaments like a normal schedule backed up to Selection Sunday, you're forcing these teams that are going to be all in the field of 68, like all the teams that will make the field are going to have to go through traveling and staying in a hotel and then having to come to Indianapolis, way higher risk rather than either completely eliminated conference tournaments or at least moving the schedule, cutting it back a little bit to the end of the regular season so that we have these built-in weeks where if situations like Virginia test positive or Kansas has a player test positive, they already have David McCormick and Tristan Aruna and Lawrence because they didn't even make the trip because of protocols. So everybody is getting pushed now to the edge where we have to have teams by Saturday at 11 p.m. local time, Virginia and Kansas has to be able to tell the NCAA, yes, we are able to play. You can put us in the bracket. And if they can't do that, well, then they're not going to be in the tournament, all because we decided, no, we need the money. The conferences want the money grabbed from the conference tournament, even though it was never the smart idea to try to push this up at a normal pace. When this isn't a normal year, why do a normal schedule?
I agree. And one of the keys, I think, and I think it came out either Monday or Tuesday. And I can't remember what day for sure because I need to start dating my notes for these programs. When the NCAA came out saying, okay, we're requiring all Tier 1 personnel to have 7 consecutive negative tests before traveling to Indianapolis. That's before you even get into the bubble. That means to get to the door, you have to prove that everybody that is a Tier 1, that's trainers, coaches, and athletes, all have to have 7 negative tests in a row. If not, you're not coming into the bubble. And, you know, I agree. And COVID has been difficult. And we always seem to think that we're over the hill and coming down. But when you're talking about having these groups together, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you're together, you're staying together. If you have one, you never know, Mason. That's the problem. You never know if just one person slips up. Maybe one person didn't do what he was supposed to do. That's all it takes, is one, and then you're right back in. And I understand that the conferences and these schools are looking at huge deficits and trying to figure out what they're going to do. But if the end game was to make sure that you get your cut of the NCAA tournament, then not losing a Virginia or a Kansas or a Duke is a big deal.
It's a huge deal, and you had mentioned a little bit about getting to Indianapolis, and I know that once they're there, it's just you just need five players to be able to play. So they have all of the tracking and the contact tracing set up to where this won't happen, where one test isn't going to totally eliminate a team because of the chips that they are using to track everybody, and that's what the ACC tournament was doing. And so it was interesting then to have Virginia. It only took one test to lose them, but they know who in the party on the team in that tier one list is part of the contact tracing that hasn't been shared. We're still waiting on Kansas as well to find out who from them, but it's all such a mess that they tried to force this upon and make these games happen, because by Tuesday at 6 p.m. when they lock that bracket, they don't want anybody having to not be able to play, and all of a sudden we've got situations like this where Texas is in the Big 12 championship game and they didn't even play a semifinal.
Yeah, and it's crazy, and excuse me, that's the key. And with Duke, it was a walk-on, didn't get any playing time. I do believe with one of the other schools, he was actually playing last night. So
yeah, I mean, they didn't disclose who the player was, but he was playing in the game against Oklahoma.
So, I mean, that not only does that put Kansas in, an awkward position, but it puts Oklahoma in an awkward position too. So, there's just no way to know, and that's the tough part. Let's move on because we'll see what happens, it is what it is. You have mm-hmm. to pull your bootstraps up and go.
They all agreed to it when they got there. They knew what the situation at hand and what they were going to deal with.
Okay, so I'm thinking of when you look at these conference tournaments, you're kind of looking for hot teams. There are some hot teams out there, Mason. I'm want you to give me a couple of yours, and I'll give you a couple of mine.
Easy answer right now. Well, Oklahoma State looks very good, and they've got Baylor this evening. That's a team that's a lot of fun to watch in a Big 12 that seems a little questionable about how many teams can really make a run to a Final Four. Yes, they'll have a ton make the field, but don't know how really deep they are besides a team like Baylor. I think a game like tonight for Oklahoma State could really show off the potential for them to make a deep run. Illinois in the Big Ten right now. Michigan stumbled early in their first game, but obviously had a strong second half. Came back, won by double digits. So Illinois is another one in the Big Ten that's extremely hot with Iowa back in. So Oklahoma State's one that would stand out. Illinois is another that would stand out. Alabama earlier today against Mississippi State, 85-48. They shot a ton of threes. That's been a trendy pick over the past month to maybe make a run in March. They're definitely part of that category. Still up in the air, though, as far as Pac-12, UCLA lost last night. Now we're dealing with some ACC issues. We wanted to see if, hey, maybe Duke could even be the one to get hot and maybe claim that auto bid from the ACC. So I don't really have anybody from the ACC. Also, the Big East is a bit of a mess right now. Georgetown beating Villanova. Villanova without Colin Gillespie is trending in the wrong direction. So, you know, UConn's a pick with James Bouknight back to be able to maybe make a run. That's about it, though, wrapping around the conferences. Big Ten is clearly the one that has the most potential to have multiple teams into that second weekend, Elite Eight, Final Four.
And I totally agree with that. I thought I watched North Carolina last night. If they can get consistent outside shooting, they're going to be a tough team to prepare for too. I want to see Houston again just to see how Houston plays, but mm-hmm. I think Houston's a fun team to watch during the tournament too. But, yeah, it's going to be, I think with those four teams that the Big Ten have that are rolling right now, that that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm interested to see what happens with Juwan Howard if he has to miss, if they're going to make him miss a game for everything that went on today.
I really hope not. I don't know if you saw either of the press conferences, but they were telling a bit of different stories. Turgeon was basically saying, I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. Juwan Howard was saying that Turgeon kind of caused the incident and was telling him, hey, don't get over the line. And Turgeon also mentioned that this has been going on for the past two games that they played against each other this year and told the Big Ten about it. They didn't do anything. So I hope that we don't see a Juwan Howard suspension because of this. I don't think that it was of that level, but I guess we'll see from the Big Ten.
If you ever have somebody, though, that can take the reins after Juwan Howard, I mean, he does have a pretty good assistant coach.
Yeah. Martelli had a good quote at the end of the game. I know he just ended with a, hey, this is March, with a little smirk. And so it's a lot of fun to have a young guy and old guy on that staff together. It's working well, obviously.
Yeah, and it just shows the smart and understanding that Juwan Howard understands. Hey, listen, I'm great at walking into living rooms, and I have a way I want my system. But boy, when we're talking defense and other things, I got to get somebody. And man, he got a winner with him. I thought it was funny when Turgeon just sounded like one of those kids at recess going, "Well, it wasn't me, and this is what he did, and he did this too, and he's done it too many times, and I'm going to tell." And I thought I didn't think it made him look good either. But Howard, you know, he didn't. They have to hold themselves up to a higher regard than trying to push his way over to the bench. But I like the fact that we may not like it, but the kids that are seeing that, they do like it because they know their coach has their back. We got about three more minutes, and once again, I'm talking to Mason Heckman, and he is at Mason Heckman on Twitter. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Caitlin. My wife and I now have watched the last two games, and she's had games that she hasn't been shooting really well. But I think that what she's showing the country right now, if people are watching, is she's not just a scorer. She plays defense, and she can dish the ball. It's quite amazing just how well she's playing. And she gets another chance tonight, a Michigan State team that they should be able to beat.
And it's been competitive and fun early. I was watching a little bit. I believe it's at half right now, 41-40. Michigan State's leading. But, yeah, to have her have a double-double with assists, and she was nearly close to a triple-double with 27 points in their first game of the Big Ten tournament. It's fun to see them, you know, get a chance to actually make a run. I know Maryland's the one seed and most likely who they will meet if they're able to beat Michigan State. But she's doing well on a big stage.
And it's – you know, and I keep trying to tell people this, that we've seen it. You see somebody play in high school and you think, well, you know, that translates a little bit. I can see how that can translate into being a good player. But then you get to see everything that she's capable of doing, and it's just amazing. And there was some talent on that floor last night, because Rutgers is they're a rough team, an up and down team, play in your face defense. And it was a great win for them last night. And hopefully they can carry that on. It looks like they're going to be a 5 or a 6 seed. It looks like Iowa State, they got beat by Oklahoma today. It was Texas. They got beat by Texas. But played well. I think they're going to be a 7 or 8 seed. So it's going to be nice to have a couple of local teams get into the tournament. Before I let you go, we'll come back next week. We'll talk about Iowa. I think they're going to have a great night tonight. And then I can't wait to see.
It'll be a fun one.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the games that are going to come after that. Iowa State got beat first round, and I have to. I'm going to run these out here to you. This is what they're looking at right now. Iowa State has had a losing record in Hilton 3 out of the last 5. And they had they've had 3 out of 5 in the last 4 years. From December 2014 to 28, they had 2. From December of 2014 to January 8th of 2018, they had 17 top 25 wins. From January of 2018 to the present, they've had 16 wins in conference. Jamie Pollard's got a tough couple of weeks ahead of him, because he's there in Indianapolis having to deal with all this, and he's going to have to come home and deal with what to do with the basketball program.
And I don't know, I heard a little bit from outside media people, some people that are covering on a national level a couple weeks ago had talked about, I still think that he'll stay somewhere to somebody in Bloomington, Indiana, Archie Miller, they think he'll stay. A couple underwhelming performances and things, coaches that started their careers really well and had high expectations are now falling off a little bit. So, yeah, I'll be really curious to see what direction they go.
All right, buddy. I'll make sure I text you next week, and before we'll pick tournament games together too in one of our segments and go over some of those games. Thanks a lot, Mace.
Yeah, thanks.
You bet. Mason Heckman, you've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. A segment with Zach Steenblok, gambling coming up next. Zach, I got you. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Wanted to talk with you a little bit today. Players Championship, probably, I said this yesterday, and I think I've said to you and the boys before, next to the Masters, this is my favorite golf tournament. Just because of the course. The course is amazing. It has so many tough holes, and it makes it difficult for these players, who are the best players in the world, and you're looking right now, two rounds, the high score is 9 under. I mean, that's when a golf course is tough enough. I was just imagining what it'd be like for us to play. I mean, I can't imagine hitting into 17 over water. It would be so incredibly tough.
We put it in the water every single time.
Yeah.
But it is, it's a great course. And personally, I would prefer the course to be playing hard, where you kind of have to fight for the birdies. It's more enjoyable to watch, I think, than just having people just hit their drive, hit their next shot, and then have a putt for a three, you know? So I think it's more interesting when the course is really eating players up. And you can tell, I mean, just yesterday, I think it was Kevin Na and Byung Ahn. They put it in the water, I think, like 3 or 4 times. And even from the drop area, they couldn't even put it on. And these are world-renowned and world-class golfers, right?
And Kevin Na just said, I'm done, after he had an 11 and said he was done. When you're looking at it right now, I bet a couple of dark horses. I bet Charlie Hoffman, just because how can you not bet for Waste Management? And I also bet on Paul Casey, just, you know, thinking that, you know, you got to hit the ball straight. You have to be able to putt, and he's had chances to do both of those. The other one that I took DeChambeau, just because once he wins one, then that really starts locking him in, and he's done well. Sergio struggling today. He was on the top of the leaderboard. Another, I might have picked the wrong overseas golfer, because Lee Westwood leading today shot a 6 under today. Chris Kirk shot a 7 under with holing out for a eagle on one of the holes today. But it's going to be fun over the weekend to watch these guys play and get the field narrowed down and see what it's like. But you had some huge names today. McIlroy's not going to make the cut. Kuchar, Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, Tony Finau, Bubba Watson, Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, that's great golfers, and they're not making the cut.
I don't even think you can consider Ricky a great golfer anymore.
Well, no, he's struggling.
So bad.
No,
it's just a name. And, you know, going back to what you said about Lee West, it's kind of crazy. He's been putting up great golf scores the last 4 weeks. He was doing an interview the other day, and he's like, you know, I'm playing like I played in my 20s. When I got in my 30s, I got too technical. I wasn't going out there and just hitting the ball. And now he's just like, I'm just going out there and hanging loose, you know? So it's cool to see that. He's an older guy on the tour. It kind of shows that we see the big swingers now with Bryson and some of the younger guys driving at 330. He's just, you know, hitting maybe 260, 275, and he's just doing just fine. And then what you said about, you try to pick some guys who are, you know, good with the irons and stuff. I picked Morikawa earlier this week.
And I still think,
like,
you're,
you know,
safe
what?
There.
Right. And he's the great iron player, right? Him and JT too. And you can tell that the course is even playing hard for that, because I think Morikawa is 2 over. I'm not sure what the cut is going to be. I think it's 1 or
it's,
maybe even.
It's even right now.
Mm-hmm.
My guy's right on. Morikawa's at even. He finished even.
Yep. I see that.
Yep, and Jordan Spieth. I bet on Jordan Spieth too, because I bet on Jordan Spieth every weekend, and he finished even after a really good day yesterday. He just can't get all phases of his game together at one time.
Right, and then you just so the I picked three people before before Thursday tee times, and I had Dustin Johnson. He's looking okay. I mean, it's hard to bet against him, right? Tomorrow's moving day. We'll see if he can, you know, put together a stellar round. Probably depends if he tees off in the morning or the afternoon. You can tell that people who are playing in the morning have a little bit easier because the wind isn't as much of a factor. And then I picked Spieth as well. You know, he's been playing good. He's a good iron player. And of course, is rooting for him, right? I said before that golf is better when he's playing better.
Absolutely.
And then finally, Morikawa. So
did you
and
then today, did you parlay that? Tell
no,
my
you can't parlay.
You can't parlay on the golfing. Okay.
No, because if you parlay three winners, you can't get your winner.
I got it. No. I get. Okay. I understand what you're saying. Thank you.
Yeah, and then today, right? And then today, I picked DeChambeau. He's tied for fourth right now at 6 under. Hopefully he makes a move and just keeps it going. I saw a stat yesterday where he's ranked at the very top on strokes gained on par threes. And that's just kind of crazy in itself. Cause you know, he's trying to drive the ball as far as he can, but he still has his irons, play really well.
By the way, which are all the same size, which makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. But he works with it and he does it. So when you picked him up today, what did you pick him up? What was the odds on him today?
He was plus 500.
Wow, that's still really good.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's also some weird guys at the top, right? Not sure, you know, that'd be kind of cool if him and Lee Westwood are battling on Sunday again, right? That'd be kind of crazy.
What was
2 weeks in a row?
And they had a great, I mean, it was fun to watch them too.
And I think Fitzpatrick can keep putting, I mean, he's through 15 right now and 4 under today. I think he's really in stride right now too. So he might be up there on Sunday to watch for, but it's still early to tell. You know, everyone at golf says, you know, Saturday's moving day. So we're going to have to see how it looks after tomorrow's round.
When you look at the conference championships right now, are you betting wise? Would you parlay teams together on a daily basis and try to, you know, pick three that you think? I mean, is that a fun way to do it, or are you individually betting games?
Right. Today I parlayed four teams: Arkansas, Alabama, Oregon, and Michigan. So we'll see how that shapes up. Two more games are still left in that. And then I picked up Purdue in the first half. I think they were down like 10 or something, money line. And then, you know, they almost got it, right? But then overtime, you could tell the players were pretty worn out. But it's tough when you start getting to the semifinals and finals for the tournament, just because the teams are going to, you know, they're the better teams in the conference and they're going to want to, you know, win the games. Another thing that I noticed, and might be a hot take, I think the Big Ten are a bunch of frauds. The teams are playing not as great as they have. And I think we will see next week that maybe the Big Ten isn't as good as we thought it was.
That is a big take. When you are, I had somebody text me today, big hockey fans, and I didn't have an answer. How do you regularly bet on hockey? Or I know that you love watching hockey. Do you bet many hockey games?
Yeah, I think I said on the show before, my favorite part to do is, you know, just bet the overs, right? You know, sometimes they're not going to hit, but how are you going to watch a hockey game and hope for teams not to score, right? It's going so fast. But that's usually how I bet it. I don't usually bet the money line or the puck line, but usually just the overs, just because it's fun, right?
I'll tell you, and I'm on a three or four losing streak doing this. So the other night I did unders instead of overs, and I went 500. Betting overs in the NBA is a crapshoot. I mean, you would think when you have two high powered offensive people going at each other, or one team that's not very good at defense that you can count on the over. It's amazing how good they are at setting those lines.
Right, and that's the whole point too. If you have two high-powered offenses or one team that doesn't play defense very well, that's built into their lines, right? So that's why you'll see such a difference in games. And, it's their job. Vegas has been making a lot of money for a long time setting lines.
They do. And the thing that gets me all the time, and it's especially when I take high-scoring offenses, is the team that they're playing isn't very good at offense, and they don't score enough points to counteract with, my squad that I knew was going to score points, they scored over what I thought they did, but I can't get the losing team to score more points. They're scoring in the 80s, and the winning squad's at like 126. I think I've lost
five. That's
why
you take the.
Go ahead.
That's why you take the team total over.
I know.
So the team is going to be putting points up. You got to find a little niche.
I see why they have big hotels and people in Vegas drive around in Ferraris all over the place. It's not easy. You have NASCAR coming up this weekend. I know you've bet on NASCAR a couple of times. Who's kind of like your favorite NASCAR guy to gamble on?
So I think I've bet on three races so far this year. I think they're maybe in their fifth or sixth, might be less than that. But I think Chase Elliott has the best odds this weekend. And it comes down to, you have the super speedways, you have the regular speedways, and then you have the road courses. Toyotas are known to have the fastest cars on the super speedway, right? And then you have, if it's a shorter track, Kevin Harvick is really good at short tracks, right? So you just have to see what each driver is better at. I mean, Chase Elliott's the best road race driver too. So there's so different things in NASCAR. And I just started getting into it probably a year or two ago, and it just seemed like it was the same thing every week. They're driving in circles and that's about it, right? But there's actually a lot more that goes into it. Shorter tracks, speedways, road tracks, things like that. And then the cars themselves too. I mean, Toyota, you have Ford, and then you have Chevy, right? And they all race differently on different courses.
And one of my favorites and one I've bet on, Kyle Larson, he races for Hendrick now. And why I like Kyle Larson is even on any course, it doesn't matter what course, he can drive a high line, he can drive a low line, he can drive in the middle. He thinks differently than a lot of NASCAR drivers do, and he just tries to. I mean, he's like DeChambeau on the golf course. He thinks differently than everybody else, and it doesn't matter where he likes to drive. He wants to go where his car tells him it's the best, and so he'll pick lines during the race, and they keep times on everything, and that's where he goes. So it's fun to watch him too, especially when he's getting back in. He had a couple of rough years where he said some things he shouldn't have and was out of racing, and now he's back in, and he's on a great team too. So that's exciting. What do Iowa Hawkeyes' chances of winning the Big Ten are?
I think it's pretty slim. I was on the phone today with a Hawkeye fan, and he's like, I think we're probably going to, maybe win one more game and then probably lose in the first round of the tournament. And that's not coming from me, not a Hawkeye fan. This is coming from a Hawkeye fan. He called me today, and he's like, knock, knock. And I said, who's there? He said, Owen. I said, Owen who? He said, Owen 18. Nice job, Cyclones. And I was like, oh, man. So...
And on the last thing, because I always have to bring these up, ISU had a losing record in Hilton Coliseum, I think one time, or no, it's a total of three in all the years up to December of 2014 through 2018. In three of the last 5 years, they have had a losing record in Hilton. And December 2014 through January 8, 2018, 17 top 25 wins. From January 2018 to the present, they've had 16 wins in conference. Some low times, yeah. And I don't think he's going anywhere, buddy.
I hope he's on his way to Alabama right now. I saw that stat on Twitter, and it was Iowa State has had five years where they have a losing record at home.
And three out of the five are right. All right, yep. That's not what we were looking for. Have a good weekend, buddy. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you later this weekend.
You too. Take care.
You bet. Zach Steenblok coming in, talking a little sports betting.
1700, The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Happy Friday, everybody. Hopefully everybody had a great week. Nice weekend coming up. Going to get a little change in the weather over the next couple of days, but hopefully we'll bounce right back up. If you want to check us out, go to Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. You can always go to at 1700 The Champ on Facebook. And go to 1700thechamp.com. You can download the podcast. You can listen to the show live. You also can be with me and welcome in BetMGM. If you want to do some sports betting in the state of Iowa, download the app. Put some skin in the game. Check out their specials. First bet, you can bet up to $100, and if you lose, they will match whatever you bet. So put in a deposit bet and win and enjoy BetMGM. It's a great app, easy to use. Also want to thank Northwest Bank, member FDIC, two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines, a great place to bank, a great place with great employees. They were just voted to top workplace honor for the sixth year in a row. Everybody is happy at Northwest Bank. I want to thank Mason Heckman and Zach Steenblok for coming in. Mason taking us through some NCAA items right now and everything that's going on, three teams today. We'll talk about that in a second. Zach coming in and giving you some sports betting information. Did a little NASCAR, did a little golf, did a little basketball, did a little NBA. It's always good to talk to him. B Styles coming up at 5:20. We're going to talk about that Iowa Hawkeye game tonight. What's ahead for the weekend? How about everybody being healthy? We're going to have the women's team is now into the fourth quarter. They're just getting ready to start the fourth quarter as we speak, so we'll keep you updated on that. And Matthew Bain coming in at 5:40. We're going to talk some boys basketball, and I'm going to shoot over to that right now. Earlier today, and I love the way, so here, newsflash, beep, 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 beep. Here's a thing, Gary Steenblok saying the Iowa High School Association is doing a good job. I love the semifinal Thursday and the final Friday. I think it's outstanding. So far today, Montezuma has beat North Lynn 44-41. And Western Christian Hole and Boyden Hole. Western Christian pulls that out 56-50. They're like, I can't remember what they said today. It's like 6 or 7 miles apart, and they haven't played in a couple of years. Interesting. A great game going to happen for 3A. Number one Ballard, number two Pella. And then you have number two Waukee going against number four Johnston. Johnston, nobody playing better than the Johnston Dragons, except for they split the regular season. I don't think Coach DeVries' son played that game that Waukee lost. It's been a long time, folks. I told a couple of my coworkers today, they probably have 3 or 4 kids that would start on a lot of these teams, but they have 5 D1 kids that start for them right now, and that is amazing. I don't even think they've run on all cylinders yet and been averaging. They scored 71 and what did they do? 71 and 65 so far. That's pretty incredible when the other scores mostly were in the 40s. So you can see what they can do on the floor. It's going to be a great night tonight. So nice job by the Iowa High School Association. We'll talk a little bit with Matthew Bain today too. The new 5A segments came out today and sections for where they all landed. Some weird stuff in there. I'm curious to see what Matthew has to say too about where they put some of the people at. And that is not set in stone, I don't believe, because I still think that people are trying to get out of the Central Iowa Conference and start their own conference. We'll see what happens. And I think after they see these splits, they really may be thinking about doing that. So we'll see what Matthew has to say about that. with the state of high school sports in the local area here. One of the big things, Iowa State got beat today. Actually, they took Texas to double overtime today and had a great game. And I think they're probably going to be a 7 seed. I think Iowa, if they can win this game against Michigan State, I think Iowa can push to a 6, maybe a 5, depending on how they play tomorrow night against. And Maryland took care of Northwestern pretty easy today, 85-52. Maryland, pretty much the juggernaut of their 17-1 in the Big Ten. So not an easy game for whoever wins this Iowa-Michigan State game. Ashley Jones again today had 28-14. Bill Finley has it going right now. They have a pretty good recruiting class coming in next year. Some of these kids can stay. I don't know if they're going to. Ashley Jones is only a sophomore. You have three or four freshmen that played a lot of minutes. So a lot of big things happening for them. Oh, you know, we were talking a little bit about some of the teams, and I feel bad for them that it's an awful lot. We're still in, as much as you hear on the news, and we want to believe that we're coming out of this COVID era, and I totally agree with that. And I think it will happen, and it's nice that we're getting vaccinated. You still have some teams that are struggling. Virginia is out of the ACC tournament. Duke is out of the ACC tournament. Kansas is out of the Big 12. They have, after tomorrow, and they have seven. Where is my piece of paper? They have 7 days. The NCAA is requiring all Tier 1 personnel to have 7 consecutive negative tests before traveling to Indianapolis. So that 7 days has started before now. So it's going to be interesting to see. Once you are in the bubble and you have someone test positive for COVID, they'll do contact tracing, but you're still going to be tested night and mornings. If you're negative, you only have to have 5 teams to be able to continue, or 5 teams, 5 players to be able to continue. So a little less stringent once you're in the bubble, but to get into the bubble, everybody has to have 7 consecutive negative tests before traveling into Indianapolis and getting into the bubble. So you're just going to have to hope. Because that's where you're at. It's not something that, you know, social distancing, wearing a mask, doing all the stuff you're supposed to do, that gets you a very high percentage of not catching COVID. But it does not mean that you cannot. So difficult times ahead for when you are when you're trying to keep all these young men healthy. And like I've said, we've talked about it for like, ever since I came back on the radio, it's kind of been my mantra, is what these student athletes are going through is hard to comprehend for all of us, to be segregated away, segmented into their own atmosphere and trying to keep, you know, no outside interference, no family, you know, it's a lot. And, you know, we're getting through all of this. We didn't get to have a lot of this last year. We didn't get to have high school basketball. We didn't get to have college, the tournament last year. A lot of these, the reasons that we're having the tournament right now is because of just loss of money from not having fans. And we'll talk about that in the opening segment next hour. That's an open segment with me, that a lot of the stadiums, and we'll talk about numbers that they're willing to let in. I'll give you one. Texas Rangers are saying day one of Major League Baseball, which is less than 3 weeks away, they're going to have 40,000 fans in there. They're just like, we're going and we're done. And we'll see what happens. That I don't know if that's the perfect magical solution to getting all this done, but they're going to give it a try and see what happens. Teams have until 11 p.m. local time Saturday to notify the committee if they can't play or meet all the protocols that they're being asked to do before they get to Indianapolis. I don't think you're going to have a team come out and say, look, I don't think that we can do this. I think they're going to go and they're going to make them try to figure out what they're going to do. But, you know, when we come back in the next hour, we'll talk about a different schedule that people had out there and the reasons why it wasn't done. And we're going to talk a little bit about Cam Newton and Tom Brady. We'll talk a little bit about Nebraska's football team and what they're trying to do and the reasons for trying to do it. I think Twitter kind of took it the opposite way that they were actually leaning on why they were doing it. So we'll discuss that. And I can't wait to get B Styles to see, you know, to have him help pick these games for the Big Ten that are coming up tonight. And we'll go through those and what he thinks the Hawkeyes are what they're looking at and seeing. I'll throw some Zach Steenblock out that he's not so sure that the Big Ten is the best conference. So we'll see what B Styles has to do about that. And can't wait to talk to Matthew Bain. I think these new 5A segments or conferences or divisions, I want to see what he thought about going there. I think the biggest one I have a question about, Southeast Polk not playing anybody to the west of them. They're playing mostly people to the east of them. Kind of crazy. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Enjoy the top of the hour break. Get ready to jump back in with me right after the top of the hour next.